Last week, we talked about Stephen Foster, an American tunesmith who composed relevant and significant music for the times he lived in, and ongoing to some degree. Well, fast forward 100 years, let's talk about avant-garde music in America. John Cage is best known for a piece where no one plays a single note. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about the music of John Cage. The title of the piece refers to the length of the piece, 4 minutes and 33 seconds. The piece has four movements, and the program reads Roman numeral 1, tacit, Roman numeral 2, tacit, and so on for the third and fourth movements. Okay, that's arbitrary, because nothing happens in the piece. But the four movements, according to Cage, the composer, could be any length of nothing. But the suggested lengths of the movements are first movement, 33 seconds, second movement, 1 minute and 20 seconds, third movement, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and the fourth and final movement, 1 minute and 20 seconds. The premier performance of this piece was by David Tudor in 1952 in Woodstock, New York. Tudor would sit at the piano, then close the keyboard lid to signal the beginning of the first movement, then open it when the first movement was done. Then he did the same for the second, third, and fourth movements. And this, of course, made people stir and whisper, which was maybe the intention of the piece. Because Cage was one of the proponents of chance music, or indeterminacy in music, where some aspects are left to open chance. What is the chance of having an entire audience remain silent for 4.5 minutes? Zero chance. The piece is said to be performed in the absence of deliberate sound, meaning the piece is about the chance sounds made by a room full of people. Cage started using silence in other pieces before this piece. He would frame a section with silence, like in the piece written just 2 years before, 433, called Waiting. I guess the audience finds themselves waiting for the section where the pianist plays just a few notes, and then he stops. More waiting. And then he plays for nearly a minute. Whoa! And the piece ends in silence. So I guess in 4:33, he got it just right. Nothing is played. And the score states it can be for any instrument or combination of instruments. So if you need an avant-garde piece on your doctoral recital, it's a one-size-fits-all or any instrument situation. But nowadays, 1952 just isn't considered modern enough. But don't worry, he wrote a piece in 1987 that might suit your needs. It's called As Slow as Possible. And guess what that piece is about? The performances have gone as long as 70 minutes, so you can fill up your DMA recital for sure with that one. One wisecrack in the comments on YouTube. Imagine if they missed a note last year and they had to start all over. Cage was really invested in trying to make people listen to the auditory experience from an enlightened or heightened awareness. It's true he was studying Zen Buddhism since 1940, and it surely influenced his music. Before his silent music, Cage was a pioneer of the prepared piano. Yay, some actual notes. But he was tinkering with non-pitches too, and some noise. A prepared piano means junk is placed between the strings to alter the instrument. In sonatas and interludes, he requires nails, bolts, rubber, plastic, and one eraser. 45 of the notes on the piano are altered, and he lays out very specific directions. Here's a little bit of his composition, Sonatas and Interludes. I guess this is considered one of Cage's most important works, and this piece definitely points to his Eastern influences, as there are 20 movements that are expressing the 8 emotions or rasas found in Indian music and art. Cage uses very complex rhythms and techniques in these piano pieces. The piece, written between 1946 and 1948, was well received and led to him getting a Guggenheim Foundation grant. Nice. When asked, Cage refers to 433 as his most important work, and it surely got everyone talking about him. So yeah, he thought of it first, but anyone could have written it, right? But Cage was in the position to be an influencer. If anyone else had written it, it wouldn't have gotten any hype at all. He was kind of like Andy Warhol to music. If Andy made a blank canvas and said that it meant to evoke artistic revelations in the viewer, hey, it would be so. When Cage wrote the silence in his pieces, he was definitely channeling his Zen teachings, and he was feeling the molecules vibrating in the air. He was measuring the tension in the audience. But why 4 minutes and 33 seconds? Was there a connection to Eastern philosophy there? Maybe. But a scientist pointed out 4 minutes and 33 seconds is equal to 273 seconds, and negative 273 is absolute zero when molecules cease to move. Coincidence? Surely not. Cage said 433 is about the impossibility of silence. He once told an audience he wished to sell a 4-minute piece of silence called Silent Prayer to Muzak Company. And this was about 1946, before his silent pieces. But he didn't think it would be understood in the Western world. He didn't want it to be a joke. He was aware of the sounds he could never silence, the blood coursing through his veins, his breathing. He wanted to express his connection to Eastern spirituality in his music somehow, and he came up with some pretty powerful prepared works and silence. Cage isn't wrong. It's rests that give the music its shape, and the silences between the movements, or the anticipatory silence before a piece starts. It's emotionally brimming over. Cage wanted to bottle that. Other composers have written silence pieces too. The earliest was In Silencio by Samuel, a pseudonym. This was written in 1896. And you're listening to it right now. Just kidding. In 1897, this was becoming a thing, a Frenchman, Alphonse Allais, at least he signed his real name, he wrote a funeral march that consisted of 24 bars of rest. And the composer directs the musicians to actually count the bars of rest and don't act like it's a mere tacit. In 1919, a German composer, Erwin Schulhoff, wrote a silent piece, but he employs really elaborate time signatures and rests in great rhythmic detail. Ha, funny. Then in 1941, Raymond Scott, an American band leader, wrote Silent Music, where the band is supposed to mime playing their instruments, while a few instruments make swishing and slapping sounds. And then in 1949, just 2 years before John Cage's 433, Yves Klein, a French composer that was influential in performance art, wrote Monotone Silent Symphony. It's a single sustained chord for 20 minutes, followed by 20 minutes of silence. And of course, the art form continues today. Lots of alternative rock bands. And the first entire album of silence, called Silent Tracks of Useful Lengths, was released in 2010 by Brent Black. It has 8 tracks of silence and apparently is available on iTunes. So there's lots of people, I didn't recognize many, but then there's Taylor Swift. She had an 8-second white noise track on the album 1989. And it was accidentally, Accidentally? Really? Oh well, sources say it was accidentally released as a single. Yep, 8 seconds. It's called Track 3, and it topped the iTunes charts in Canada. Oh, Canada. So was John Cage onto something? Maybe. You decide. Avant-garde music has its place in art, if only to exaggerate or to be meta. I think music should be less cerebral. But cerebral is what makes us human. So go explore. Maybe it will help you find your music, whatever it is. It's not a test. There's no wrong answer. Hey, if you like this episode, please share it with a friend or someone you think will enjoy it. You can also find the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do your listening. We're on Google and Amazon and, of course, Apple. And of course, there's also an entire website dedicated to the podcast with show notes and all 65 episodes if you want to explore past episodes. And thanks for listening. Enjoy your music and remember to support live performance. We'll see you next time.